Well, I guess it's good to do new things every once in a while, isn't it? I have commented that since I finished my freshman college speech course, I have only written down two talks in my life. I know some people always do. I never have. The two exceptions were when I was asked to speak at Jim Herr's memorial service and Mim Herr's memorial services. Other than that, this is the third time that I have written down what I'm going to say. So I am eager to share with you. So let's pray, and this is going to be an interesting experience. Lord, we are so grateful for your bringing us to this place in health, in life, in relationship, and most of all, in a keen awareness that you love us and you care for us and you guide us. And we thank you that today you desire to speak to us. So Lord, we invite you today by your Holy Spirit to speak to every single one of us. Every person who's hearing my voice, all the children who are in children's worship, Lord, that's our heart's cry each Sunday morning, is that each person would hear from you. And so we welcome your guidance and your speaking. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Since the beginning of this year, Laurel and I have been blessed in many ways. As a congregation, you offered us a sabbatical from January through March, and then, on top of that, amazed us by sending us on a Holy Lands tour with Steve and Barb in the Wingfield Ministries. We've been blessed indeed, and thank you from our hearts. Thank you. Together, Laurel and I have prepared a report to share with you. There's so much more than we can report on right now, but this is a start, an overview. We hope you'll find it interesting and encouraging. Laura and I identified our top 10 takeaways from our sabbatical and the Holy Lands trip. It was indeed a pilgrimage. We'll begin with the start of the year, share a few observations from our sabbatical, and then focus largely on our experiences in the Holy Lands. So here we go. Buckle up. Make sure your glasses are on if you need them, and let's jump right in. Here they are, the top 10 takeaways, sabbatical and Holy Lands pilgrimage. Takeaway number 10. We experience God in fresh ways when we are weak. We daily experience God with the blessings of peace, health, provision. We often seem to lack nothing. These are gifts from God. But we all, as humans, experience unexpected setbacks. During these moments, one of the special gifts we are given is the opportunity to experience God in fresh ways, in deeper and life-changing ways. Many of you are aware of the unexpected health issue that surprised us in December, several weeks before our anticipated sabbatical, scheduled for January through March. I developed some kind of rash over much of my body. Between the extreme distracting itchiness, unexplained hot flashes — I'm not a woman, but I feel like I can now empathize concerning hot flashes like I never could before — and extreme sleep deprivation, often at night waking up every 10 to 15 minutes, frequently not being able to be in bed more than 4 to 5 hours during the night, I was simply out of it. I knew I wasn't my normal self. This was highlighted for me when Laurel said sometime around the beginning of February, "It's nice to have your brain back." This was confirmed when I met with Elsie, Rachel, and Al with church staff this week after returning. Their kind and maybe reserved comments let me know I was even more out of it than I had recognized at the time. So if you recall my seeming not to be with it, that is even more than usual, during those days, it hopefully was due to that. I'm grateful to all of you who quickly picked up things in the middle of that time. You had my back, and I really appreciate it. Laura and I had our plans lined up: special family visits to Michigan and Texas in January, a shared study program for both of us in February with a focus of helping people work through conflict, and then the Holy Lands pilgrimage in March. These plans needed to be changed as we addressed health issues, including being seen by 11 doctors, specialists, and having some 18 medical appointments. Essentially, all of January and February plans were dropped, and we were simply delighted to be able to enjoy February with a few special one-day events, plus seeking to recharge our batteries. We celebrated being able to enjoy a Sunday morning visit with the home churches of each of our four children. That was great. There were many times during those days we felt weak, for me, physically more than ever in my life. Where was God? What was He doing? What was on His heart during those days? What might we be missing? We didn't have all the answers to our questions, but we did experience a waiting on the Lord in a fresh way. Years ago, someone described the difference between prayer and fervent prayer. Prayer is how you pray when you hear on the news that a flight from Miami to Philadelphia is having major mechanical problems. Fervent prayer is how you pray when you hear such news and you have a son or daughter, mother or father, or other loved one on the flight. We experienced fervent prayer many times during those days. As a result of God's presence, as we said to each other sometime halfway through February, this has been one of those life-changing experiences. It was difficult, but God made it good. And it should be no surprise, God gave us all the grace and strength we needed. Shortly before the scheduled trip to the Holy Lands, we received full affirmation from the doctors for us indeed to travel. Not by our strength was this arranged, but by God's plan and grace. So travel we did. Here are some photos right after our arrival at Tel Aviv, collecting our bags and meeting as a team at the airport, getting on our oh-so-friendly bus. We became good friends over the many hours and miles. And glimpsing the Mediterranean Sea for the first time as we traveled through the city of Tel Aviv and heavy traffic to our first hotel. It was good to arrive and so beautiful. Our pilgrimage in the Holy Lands had begun. These are some scriptures that reflect those early months. By the way, isn't that sweet? There are some scriptures that reflect those early months. I think it's the first combined selfie that Laurel and I may ever have taken. I'm not sure. These are some scriptures that reflect those early months of 2018. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word, I put my hope. My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Takeaway number 9. God signals in simple, unexpected ways that He is with us. The simple things often speak the most. An unexpected flower, a beautiful sunset, a seagull over the Sea of Galilee, a tree etched in the middle of the sky, an encouraging word. These simple things can say so much. In a similar manner, God can signal in simple, unexpected ways that He is with us. During those weeks of forced and necessary rest and restoration, God showed up. We received loving cards, calls, and prayers from so many of you. A few times, people asked if they could simply come by our house, not stay long, but pray with us. Another friend shared that the Lord had impressed on him to pray and fast for us. There were discreet, kind phone calls asking how we were doing. So many thought of and prayed for us. In the midst of uncertain days, these brought touches of life from Jesus. You were God's expressions of love. Again, thank you. I, Merv, experienced another of these totally unexpected expressions of God's presence and care. Justin Hollinger, as coach of that 13-2 Mount Vernon basketball team, asked me a couple of times to play a game with the team since there were few players for those games. We had agreed on this beforehand, and I was delighted to do so. During one of those games, I experienced God, although at the time I would not have said it was God whom I had just experienced. I discovered this shocking reality that a fast-moving elbow is far stronger than a stationary nose. Being the one with the nose in this story, I figured instantly that my nose was broken, and it apparently was. The worst part was thinking of telling Laurel. Some years ago, I broke a bone in my hand. Because a radiologist misread the x-ray, I didn't see a specialist for a couple of weeks. The specialist took one look at the same x-ray, and in 3 seconds, he exclaimed, "Oh, you have a broken hand." He went on to explain that if I had gone to him right after the break, he could have set the bone without operating. But since several weeks had gone by, he would need to do surgery. With that in mind, the next day I took my post-elbow nose to a physician in our family practice whom I had never seen before. He examined me quickly and said matter-of-factly, "You're fine. There's nothing to be done now. There's so much swelling, we wouldn't know what we were doing even if we did do surgery now. So go home, let the swelling go down, let it heal, and if you think it looks too bad, you can have plastic surgery later." That sounded good to me. I figured if I got up at Mount Vernon to speak and everyone gasped and ran out, I could do plastic surgery. Otherwise, it should be fine. Just before leaving the doctor's office, I commented something about the rash I had been dealing with. He perked up and asked with enthusiasm, "Could I take a look at that rash?" I responded, "Sure, you'll be the 10th doctor to do so. Go ahead." After examining me, he observed, "Some of the rash has become infected. Your current treatment, putting steroid on the rash, will keep your body from healing that infection." He described what I should do instead. The dermatologist confirmed the diagnosis and counsel, and I changed medications. I then told Laurel, "I don't want to break my nose again." And I didn't enjoy that time, but it was worth it in order to get that medication corrected. My next appointment with a dermatologist is 5 months away, and I could have continued the wrong medication for a long time before correcting it. God used that broken nose to protect me. I also noticed that my glasses now never slip down my nose. It was an unexpected signal from God that he was present and he cared. And I was so glad to tell Laurel there was a good reason for that broken nose. An added gift from God for Laurel was that in the middle of winter, she was able to experience hot sunshine, complete with palm trees, colorful flowers, beautiful birds. We don't have pictures of those. The guy with the big lens camera has those. Fruits and many walks. She even saw a lizard, reminding her of growing up in Jamaica. God knows her language and let her know he was present and cares. We were reminded near the Sea of Galilee in Israel of this same presence and care that Jesus showed his disciples. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Takeaway number 8, the way we tell our story, including to ourselves, makes a big difference. It's great to hear a good story. We heard many insightful, inspiring, informative stories as we were in the Holy Lands. It was astounding how much our guides knew, how much they had studied, how much had been dedicated to memory in order to share with us a fresh knowledge of the Holy Lands. In the midst of this, we experienced anew a practical truth. How you tell a story, including to yourself, makes a difference. We experienced this already in Pennsylvania before traveling to Israel. How Laurel and I told the story, maybe especially to ourselves and each other, of those first 2 months of our sabbatical made a great difference. We could say, "Wow, that was disappointing to spend the first 2 months of this sabbatical in this way. We missed out on some things we had planned for." Or we could tell the story to ourselves and others in this way. "God was so gracious. Can you imagine the pressure I would have felt if I had had that health crisis at some other time? Just think what it would have been like if I would have been trying to do all my regular work while dealing with this health concern. I couldn't have done it. The stress would have been major, and the church would not have been prepared for so many people to quickly take over my responsibilities if a sabbatical had not been planned. Thank God for being so gracious and wisely providing this time. And thank God for the time to reflect and ask him what he wanted to speak to us during this experience." It became clear to us that we wanted to tell the story in the second way above. It not only better expressed the truth, it kept us grateful to God and ready to learn. We saw this same principle at work in Israel. When you see Nazareth, where an angel spoke to the Virgin Mary, how do you tell the story? When you see a synagogue where Jesus may have taught, how do you tell the story? When you stand by the pool of Siloam where Jesus healed a man paralyzed for 38 years, how do you tell the story? When you see the Garden of Gethsemane, how do you tell the story? When you see Herod's palace, how do you tell the story? When you see the pathway on which Jesus likely walked as he went to the cross, how do you tell the story? When you see the garden tomb where Mary Magdalene may have first seen Jesus after the resurrection, how do you tell the story? When you think of Jesus, how do you tell the story? Jumping to today, as you ride through modern Israel and walk through old Jerusalem, seeing people of different backgrounds, ethnicities, religions, political views, economic status, and perspectives, how do you tell the story? It reminds us of the 12 Israelites who went to check out the Promised Land after being released from Egypt. The 12 all saw the same things, but two told the story very differently than the 10. The 10 said, "We can't." The two said, "God can." How you tell the story matters. It makes a big difference. This principle, so practical for daily living, really stood out to us. It reminded us of these scriptures. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Let's tell our stories often, and let's tell them well. Takeaway number 7. Christ-centered leaders and guides wisely lead us into new territory. Participating in the Holy Land's trip could also have been a dynamic course in leadership practice. We were so blessed by those leading and guiding our tour. Steve and Barbara Wingfield, assisted by Vernon Zook, a pastor in Florida who also helped Steve with the victory weekends at NASCAR events, along with our guide in Israel, Richard Frieden, were all great. They worked seamlessly together, each one adding a unique contribution to the team. Together, they were simply dynamite. Day by day, as we toured Israel, we had meaningful times with the Lord together. Typically, Vernon would lead us in a song or two as we got started on the bus, and someone would share a devotional to kick off the day. Then throughout our touring, as we were in one place or another, Steve would ask someone to read from Scripture, and he would share an insight relating to that location, often leading in prayer. Meanwhile, Richard, as our guide, would include not only biblical and historical information at different locations, but also often included comments and stories from his own personal passionate love for Jesus and zeal for God's plan for the Jewish people. Both Steve and Richard masterfully used the biblical insights or sites as opportunities to share relevant scriptures and thoughts to ponder it. Through it all, Barbara was always expressing a caring, encouraging pastor heart to everyone, ready with a smile and a word just right for the situation and that person. And Vernon was our rear guard, making sure everyone was accounted for, not pushing, but sometimes gently helping the fascinated photographers and curious wanderers not to get lost. He added to this a genuinely friendly personality along with additional insights and comments to the group. Together, this team did great. Oh, and I don't want to forget our wonderful driver, who was masterful, amazing, smiling, and cheerful. Mahmoud was Arab, possibly Muslim, and glad to serve us. We were glad for him. And both he and Richard were honored when, on our last night in Israel, They were both recognized for serving their country through the military in the same way Steve honors veterans here in the U.S. at Victory Weekend events. Godly, Christ-centered leaders, directed by the Holy Spirit, can take us into new places, new territory, not only in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual and relational. Psalm 107, 21 to 22 says this, "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." And Psalm 133 affirms this, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore." Takeaway number 6. It's a joy to make new friends and to discover more of our family in Christ. As we began this pilgrimage to the Holy Lands, of the people in the group, Laurel and I knew only Steve Wingfield. But over the course of 13 days, that shortchanged. What a joy it was to make new friends. And once again, how amazing it is to meet brothers and sisters in Christ and immediately sense that oneness we experience in Jesus. He brings us together, doesn't he? Throughout the days, we did everything together. We rode the bus together. Did we mention that we bonded with the bus over many hours and many, many miles? And yes, it seemed everyone quickly found their usual seating place, just as we seem to do on Sunday mornings. We saw spectacular sceneries, much of it different than in Lancaster and Chester counties. We met together. We were awed together by the places we were and the history they reflected. We took photos together and separately. We shared God's word and prayed together. We shared our stories of challenge and grace and of the love of God drawing us into himself. On the last day and a half, we were in Jordan, blown away by the majesty of God's creation and how people adapted to living in places and in ways beyond our imagination. It was such a rich time, such a joy to make new friends and to be the family of God. Having Richard as our Israeli guide share in this same intense personal love for Jesus added even much more. What a joy. We had a couple of unexpected family reunions. Laurel and I ran into a couple we know from Brazil. We were at a stop. I was waiting for folks to come out of the restroom. I thought I overheard Portuguese. I turned, I said, yeah, they're speaking Portuguese. I'll go say hi to them. I looked at somebody and I thought, that looks like Rogério. I walked closer, that has to be Rogério. And of course, when he saw me, it was like, you know, what are the odds that friends from the U.S. and Brazil would see each other in Israel? It was a brief time together, but it sure was a party and a reminder of this great family God has all over the world. And Vernon Zook almost literally bumped into a pastor friend of his from the U.S., again celebrating Jesus together in a global family in which he's placed us. Lest we forget, did we comment that we ate together 3 times per day? So good, so bonding, and so inviting of some extra exercise now that we are home. Breaking bread of so many varieties was definitely a part of our family life. I do hope that in the future sometime I will share some more photos of particularly some of the events in the last day or two that we were there in Jordan, but I'll save that for another time. As a special gift and expression of this wonderful family of God around the globe, 2 of the couples traveling with us on this trip made another pilgrimage. They journeyed all the way to Mount Vernon to worship with us today. So Pat and Beulah Stillman and Mel and Ann Gaiman, it's great to have you here. You've been family in Christ, but we didn't know you before this shared trip. Now we do, and we're so blessed by your lives, your witness, and your love for God, for each other, and for the world. God will hopefully give us some new opportunities to experience together this global family of Christ. participating in God's great plan to reach out with Christ's great love to all people. We're so grateful to God for you as new friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's good to have you here. And I'd like to say that last week I mentioned briefly, and I'll just update, that we are hoping to have Pat share with us September 9th, and then the Saturday following that, lead in a seminar, an 8:30 to 12:30 noon event. By the way, this is still in pencil. It's not locked in, but it's penciled in. And looking forward to Pat sharing from the perspective of a Christian businessman with a passion for Christ in the marketplace, but also sharing from the perspective of a number of things I discovered on the trip, including concerning how to face life and death, sickness, and just some matters along those lines. So it really covers a range of subjects, and we'll be giving more information in the future. Again, that's still in pencil, but we're hoping that will work out. As we traveled around Israel, enjoying this special family God has created, these scriptures spoke of this family, how it has come to be, and its mission. I love these scriptures and the instruction they give. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then shortly before his trial and death, Jesus prayed this, reaching out the whole way to us today. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me. How many have believed in Jesus? Okay. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Takeaway number 5. It's not there, is it? It just so happens that we ran out of time. Not here this morning. I ran out of time at home, going through 2,000 of my photos and 1,500 of Laurel's photos and everything else. So what we're going to do is I'm going to finish 5, 4, 3, and 2 next week. So you want to know what they are? Show up next week. Or check out the website maybe Wednesday of that, of following that. However, number one, I just had to include today. So we'll go to number one. Jason, I'm sorry. It would have been the very next slide after the one that we were on. Yeah, just go. Okay, so Laurel, should go ahead, Laurel. There we go. Okay, back it up just one. And want to back it up one more? Okay. Takeaway number one. It's all about Jesus. This world is his, and so are we. He is worthy, and he is returning. You know, this wraps it up. The beginning of this takeaway says it all. It's all about Jesus. He is the Creator. He is life itself. He is love, pure and simple. He came and walked among us, died and was raised from the dead, rose to be with his Father, and will be coming back again. It really is all about Jesus. Laurel and I wanted to bring something home with us that we could share with you. The Lord, using Steve Wingfield, helped us find something that expressed our hearts. Laurel will get this started now. She will begin handing out 2 baskets, and then we will ask you to please pass those baskets back through the rows until they reach the back. And somebody back there, Barry, can make sure folks out there receive them as well. We invite each of you to take one of these, communion cups as a small gift which expresses the core of our takeaways. The communion cup you're receiving is made of olive wood. Olive trees are vital to life and nutrition in the Middle East. This cup not only represents Israel, but it also reflects the love and life of Jesus. Just in case it's clear, we would love everybody to take a communion cup. So, this cup not only represents Israel, but it also reflects the love and life of Jesus. He entered our experience on earth via the Holy Lands in order to give his life for us all. In doing so, he provides not only forgiveness of sins and a vibrant reconnect with God, but he pours out his life, love, mission, and strength to us. So, what is the message we'd like to have you take along with you as you take this communion cup with you? Well, it's fairly simple. Let's remember Jesus. And let's say and live this prayer day by day, moment by moment. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you. The first verses of Psalm 24 express this wonderful truth. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Laura and I are so grateful that we can continue seeking the face of God, trusting in Jesus, knowing that we belong to him. The world is his, and so are we. Jesus is worthy. He is returning. And together with you, we want to live our lives centered around our risen Lord. We want to experience God and share Jesus, knowing that we have dynamic worth in God, an inspiring mission in life, and an engaging, inviting story for us to tell. Thank you again for your love, support, and partnership during these past 9.5 years. It has been a joy. I'd like to wrap up this time by rereading the text which I shared on the last Sunday we were here before our sabbatical. It was December 31 of last year, and this is the text I shared at that time. It remains so true today. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I'd like to reread that prayer. I invited us to pray that prayer during this year, 2018, make it a special prayer. And I have prayed it many times already this year, and I would like to just read it again and have us join in our hearts. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Again, thank you for partnering together as we live out a vision of being a friendly, growing congregation thirsty for righteousness, experiencing God and sharing Jesus. We're glad to be back with you in this mission. Thank you for the sabbatical, the pilgrimage to Israel, and your commitment to continue the journey together. If you'd like, you're welcome to come and check out a few of the memories from our pilgrimage, which Laurel squeezed into our suitcases to bring home. Thank you also for joining us in this way today on this pilgrimage. It's been a joy. Praise God, we can continue this journey together. It is indeed all about Jesus, isn't it? Can we pray? Lord, we are so very grateful that you demonstrated firsthand the type of love that you want us to experience and pass on to others. I pray, Lord, that every person in this room and every person who hears my voice would receive a fresh revelation of the love that you have for us, and that it would make a difference. In fact, it would make such a difference in our lives that it would continue to transform our story, and so our stories would honor you more and more every day. We pray this, Lord, recognizing that as we face this week, we may face challenges and difficulties, joys, moments of excitement, and maybe moments of despair. But we go through this week knowing for sure that you are present and you care. And we ask that through this week, our focus would be clear and singular, that we would agree every day in our hearts, yes, Lord Jesus, thank you. It's all about you. We pray this in your name. Amen.